Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Real Deal with Thomas and Ari, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything to do with movies. Be sure to follow us at StingerEHS on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm Thomas.
I'm Ari.
And it's time for our feature presentation. So, for our first installment, we're going to indulge our listeners with a bit of our personal cinematic tastes, discussing our respective top 10 favorite films of all time.
So I'm going to start it off. And so for my number 10, I have Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which is actually based off of a play by Edward Albee. And it's basically about five people who get into this very, very long and heated argument. And it came out in 1966. And I think it's very good.
I've never seen it.
I know that because I told you to watch it and you never have. Anyways, my next one is Midnight Cowboy, which came out 3 years later in 1969, and this movie is probably best known for it's a very famous scene in which Dustin Hoffman says, "I'm walking here," and slaps a taxi. And I bought it without, like, the Blu-ray, without watching the movie first, and it was not what I expected it to be, you know. It was very sad. Mm-hmm. It was very sad, but it was also very, it was very nice. And so, yeah. And so the next movie I have to talk about is First Reformed, which came out in 2017, directed by Paul Schrader.
And it's actually a great movie.
It is a great movie. And it's actually based off of Ingmar Bergman's Winterlight, mm-hmm. just in, like, modern times instead of, I've never seen Winterlight, but yeah. I'm guessing it's, well, it's definitely not modern anymore.
yeah, that came out like 62, I think, Winterlight, that is. So
yeah. I don't know if it was modern for its time or anything, but definitely not modern as of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so, next movie. Oh, I should probably say what First Reform's about. Basically, it's about a priest and ecological destruction. Yeah.
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 Good way to put it.
So, next movie is obviously, well, not obviously because I haven't said what it is yet, but Fantastic Mr. Fox by Wes Anderson, probably like one of my favorite. Well, it definitely is one of my favorite animated movies of all time. In fact, it's my second favorite mm-hmm. because my first one is higher up on this list. But yes,
we'll get there.
Yeah, we will get there. And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure most people have seen it. It's very cute, very heartwarming. I've seen it way too many times. I watched it like 3 times when I was recovering from surgery, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep a couple times during it. But anyways.
Yeah, okay.
So, final movie I have to talk about from numbers 10 to 6 is Stalker, which came out in 1979. It's in Russian. And it's by Andrei Tarkovsky. And so basically, basic plot is this guide is leading these people through the zone in this post-apocalyptic country. And mm-hmm. the zone is quite dangerous. It is, but it also has some pretty interesting stuff in it. And so that's why they're in there. And because there's this thing in there that they want. But I'm not going to say what it is.
This is a very detailed description of the film.
Yes, it is. Because it's honestly kind of confusing. Because, like, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So now it is your turn.
Indeed it is. All right. Well, I'll try to rip through this quick. Hopefully I don't mess up any of these years. Okay. Number 10. We got Bambi. I really do love this movie. It's just adorable. It really shows life in all of its intricacies. It's horror. It's joy. I just really enjoy it. I think it came out, I want to say 1940. I could be wrong on that, though, but I imagine a lot of people have already seen it. But if you haven't, you should get on that.
I think the last time I saw Bambi was on a VHS at my grandparents' house when I was like 4 or 5.
That seems like a pretty good way to watch it. I feel like a lot of people can share that. Anyway, number 9. You already talked about this one, but it happens to be on my list as well. Fantastic Mr. Fox, Wes Anderson's stop-motion animated movie. What year did this come out?
2009.
I don't have much to add. I will say, very random, but the apple cider in that movie looked very delicious.
It does.
Anyway, number 8. This one is quite a deviation from the previous two. This is Close Up from 19...
Oh, I was debating putting that on my list.
Yeah, from 1990, it was. Directed by, hopefully I don't butcher this name, Abbas Kiarostami, something like that. It's an Iranian film, and it's just an interesting meditation on, like, the power of film and, like, what it can mean to different people, and I really love it. Number 7 is Reservoir Dogs, very famous Quentin Tarantino movie. His first feature film, in fact, came out in 1992, all about it's a jewelry heist gone wrong without showing the actual jewelry heist. And it's just a fantastic movie. Really great performances. Then number 6, Dr. Strangelove. This is Stanley Kubrick's, in my opinion, his greatest film. Came out in 1963, I believe. And it's like this really dark, sadistic satire about Cold War politics and like what would happen if Doomsday was coming and how the president would react, how the leader of Russia would react, things like that. It's or the Soviet Union, I should say. So, yeah, great movie.
Well, fun fact, I have that movie on DVD and I have never seen it.
Oh, come on. You got to get on that, dude.
I'll see it eventually, honestly, but, you know, I have a lot of movies on DVD that I've never watched.
Same for me, honestly.
I have a whole box of them just sitting in my room. I can see them from right here.
I'm looking over at my shelf right now, and I've got, like, 10 I can see right now I haven't watched yet, but it's fine.
Yeah. You know, I definitely have way more than 10, but...
Yeah.
All right. So I guess now I am talking about my number 5 choice, mm-hmm. which is actually a movie that came out last year called it's called Pain and Glory, and it's great in Spanish, movie. And it's directed by Pedro Almodovar,
mm-hmm.
and it is an amazing. That movie was amazing.
Really
honestly.
Great.
I cried. I did cry. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't cry a lot, but I cried.
I teared up with that movie.
Yeah, and so basically, it's about this dude who is very, like, chronically ill, which, like, honestly, I relate to. And, you know, he's just, like, you know, gay, and he finds this dude that he, like, I think he had, like, a relationship with or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, it was, like, it was just, you know, mm-hmm. It was just like that.
If I can try to put my thoughts into words, I would just say that, like, the entire film is just, like, there's just life pouring out of every frame. The colors pop out, all the characters feel real, and, like, the emotions are very raw. It's just out there for everyone to see, and it's, like, a very brave film based on his own life, I believe, right?
Pedro
Almodovar's life? Yeah. It's fantastic. I would recommend it to anybody. And if anyone's like turned away by subtitles or whatever, just stick to it. Read the subtitles. It's worth it.
Hey, Bong Joon-ho made the best quote about this. I'm going to totally misquote him here. But he said something like, once you get past the 1-inch barrier subtitles, the world of cinema is opened up or something like that. He said it was something like that. But
you got the core of
the idea is there.
Yes. I think people will understand. All right. I guess we'll go over to my number 5 spot now, which is Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver. This film came out in 1976, I believe.
It did come out in 1976.
You can confirm that? Okay, that's good. Yes. Stars Robert De Niro as like a Vietnam War veteran who takes up taxi driving at nights because he can't sleep. And it's just this, it's a very strange character study. And one of my favorite aspects is Bernard Herrmann's soundtrack. He's my favorite composer of all time. He did a lot for Hitchcock, Psycho and Vertigo, I think, are some of his. And also a movie I watched recently, Jason and the Argonauts. Nice little adventure film. Little fun facts for you. And yeah, the music, it's got this great percussion to it. It's just, it has this strange intensity and like, it kind of brings the audience in. It allures you. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's really.
If I were to explain it, I would explain it like a very taut string.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
I don't know why, but it's like a very taut string.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know why. That makes sense, but I have no idea why. Anyway, another thing I really love about the movie is, as I said, Robert De Niro stars in it. I absolutely love his performance. I genuinely think it's one of the greatest of all time. And I think what he does with his eyes in the film is fantastic. His gaze really, it like commands the camera in a way. Like, we really stay in his cab a lot of the time, but we learn so much about him and like what he decides to look at, what he doesn't look at. And all these close-ups of his eyes and, like, the rearview mirror and the car and the lights, like, reflecting in his eyes, it's really beautiful. And then going off of the lights, I really love the cinematography. I cannot remember the cinematographer's name, and I feel bad about it, but it's fine. But just the rain and, like, the steam billowing up from the streets, the reflection of the traffic lights and the puddles, it's really just a beautiful film.
I agree.
Yeah. I do agree. I love Taxi Driver.
Yeah. So I guess now I'm moving on to my number four, which is At Eternity's Gate, directed by Julian Schnabel, is I think how you say his name.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it came out in 2018, and it's it basically stars Willem Dafoe as Vincent van Gogh, basically while he's living in Arles with Paul Gauguin and painting with Paul Gauguin, and then his eventual admission into a residential psychiatric hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so it follows basically that until his death, which is actually in real life, unsure how he actually died. Nobody actually really knows.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, they portray it as I believe they portray it as kids shooting him.
Yeah, something like
while
that.
He's painting. And so I thought obviously there's a lot more to unpack in that movie. It's a very good study of mental illness and just artistry in general. And it's probably one of the better movies I've seen about Vincent van Gogh. Obviously, yeah. There's Loving Vincent, that's amazing, but I haven't seen the whole thing. So.
Yeah, if I could just add anything about it, I really love this movie. One of my favorites of 2018. The colors, once again, just like Pain and Glory, really fantastic. And I can't remember any of the quotes at the moment, but I just remember being very moved by some of the things Willem Dafoe said in the movie as Vincent van Gogh. Yeah. They were just very powerful quotes, especially with Mads Mikkelsen's character. Who was he? Was he like a priest or something?
I think Mads Mikkelsen was actually Theo van Gogh.
Really? I don't remember. I don't know. But he talked to him at the psychiatric hospital, and there were just some really great moments there. Very good movie. Great pick.
Oh, Mads Mikkelsen was a priest.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Glad we could clear that up. Yeah. All right. I guess we'll move over to my number four pick. Another pretty modern movie. It's Moonlight, 2016, directed by Barry Jenkins. The story of a young gay black man in growing up in Miami, I believe. And, yeah. Right? Miami?
I believe it's Miami.
Southern Florida. But it's such a moving film. It's like, and it's in such a strange way. Because normally with drama, you would expect like, kind of like with Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, there's the normal, not necessarily normal, but rather common drama with like loud performances, big drama, dramatic scenes. Although I've never seen Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, so I suppose I can't really attest to that. Maybe more like,
that's how it is.
Yeah, maybe more like 12 Angry Men. I can say that with a certainty. Very loud performances. But yes. With Moonlight, the drama doesn't come from the sound and the dialogue. It comes from the moments in between. It's like the silences and just the looks between characters, and maybe not even between characters, but just a character sitting alone thinking. It's fantastic, and I love the music in the film as well. Like the soundtrack, like popular songs that they put in, and then also the original score, who I can't remember composed it, but it's just really beautiful. And yeah. Everybody gives a fantastic performance. I think the only name I remember is like Trevante Rhodes, I think is the name of the person who plays adult Chiron in the film.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, something like that. Great movie though. Performances, yeah. Everything about it. Barry Jenkins' direction is just very purposeful. Love what he does with his characters. It's very much a character movie, not a plot movie. Love it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, there's Janelle Monáe and Mahershala Ali.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Mahershala Ali as Juan. Such a fantastic performance. Really, really beautiful. Oh, yes. I really recommend that movie to everyone. It's so great.
Yes, it really is. Honestly, I did not, like... Well, the first time I saw it, I was kind of looking at my phone the whole time. So that's kind of my fault. Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't really get it, like, the first time. I was like, okay.
I kind of agree with you. I was not blown away either.
Yeah. But now I'm like, okay, I get this now.
Yeah. You really got to, like, think about it, let it stew, watch it again, and it really works. It's just a great movie.
Yeah, I agree. And so the movie, my number three pick that I'm going to talk about is Akira. And this is an animated movie, so technically you could watch the Japanese version where you would read subtitles, or you could watch the dubbed version, which is in English. But I do recommend always that you watch the original version with subtitles. It came out in 1988, and it probably features one of the best, like, chase, like, race-ish sequences ever, ever. And it's honestly, like, it has such a beautiful animation style, too. I wish more, like, they kind of, people still animated like that, as everything's moved a lot more to 3D animation, which I'm not the biggest fan of. I don't, obviously, you know this. I don't hate 3D animation, but I do greatly prefer 2D animation. And so Akira, it's basically about this, they're not really a gang, but they're a group of friends. And one of them gets, like, basically gains, like, superhuman powers. And so that's the plot is based around that. And it's a very good movie. And it's very dramatic, very tense, but also it goes pretty fast, but I do enjoy it a lot.
I have still never seen it, and if I'm being honest, feel a little guilty about this. I'm not sure I have ever seen an animated Japanese film, except unless you count, like, Pokemon.
I mean, that kind of counts. You haven't seen any Studio Ghibli films?
No, I still have not watched a single Studio Ghibli movie. I really need to get on that.
I think you need to watch a Studio Ghibli movie.
I really do. There's so many. Everybody loves them. Like, Spirited Away, right? And Ponyo. Yes.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
Kiki's Delivery Service. Howl's Moving Castle. Princess Mononoke. There's a lot you can choose
all
from.
All those Miyazaki films.
Yes.
Gotta get on that. Anyway, moving back over to my list, my number three pick is a 1966 film directed by Sergio Leone called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This is arguably the most famous of what is considered the spaghetti western genre, a genre of many Italian filmmakers creating their own western films, which was the genre it contrasted greatly from the American Western that would feature, like, the great hero, like John Wayne, something like that.
Yeah.
In these, the heroes were very not morally correct. I don't really know the right way to put it. They weren't the best people. And that's sort of especially like, evident in this.
Anti-heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's, like, almost 3 hours long, but at least in my case, I really don't feel the runtime at all. It just goes by quickly, and it's great.
Yeah. I really did put off watching that for a while because of the runtime, and then when I did watch it, I did not feel the runtime at all.
Yeah,
or the length or anything like that. Which, I obviously haven't seen it since then because I don't have the time to sit down and watch 3 hour movies very often. But yeah, I do. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. And then another, like, fantastic aspect would be Ennio Morricone's original composition for the film. He's my second favorite composer. And just everything about this. I think one of the tracks is now a TikTok sound, right? Freaking the Ecstasy of Gold. That's a famous one on TikTok, I think, at least somewhat. But
yeah, I think so.
I digress. Really, really great score. And one thing that is just bizarre to me is Ennio Morricone did not win a single, like, Oscar that wasn't a special achievement award until 2016 for Tarantino's The Hateful Eight. Before that, he had never won an Oscar, even though he is arguably one of the greatest composers of all time. And I just think that might be telling of an American bias at the Academy.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
At least Parasite won. That's a good step forward. You know, and then Clint Eastwood. Love Clint Eastwood in the movie. He's just...
We might not love Clint Eastwood as a person, but...
Yeah, but his acting, just his glares, and again, what he does with his eyes. I don't know what it is about the eyes with me, but I really love what actors choose to do with their eyes and just his glares, his squints in like the desert sun. It's really, really great stuff.
Yes. I'd have to agree. I would have to agree. All right, so I guess now we're moving on to my number two, which is Dog Day Afternoon, starring Al Pacino, which came out in 1975, and which is actually based on a true story. So it's about a bank robbery with Al Pacino, who plays this guy named Sonny, and he has an accomplice. And so they realize that the bank robbing has gone extremely wrong, and they are completely surrounded by police on all sides. And so this Sonny is holding, they're holding hostages in the bank. But the actual motive for the robbery, which you don't really learn until the middle of the movie, is actually that, I don't even know if you ever learn the motive in the movie.
Wait, is this going to be a spoiler?
Well, it's a real life event. Okay. You know,
fair enough.
You know, the reason that Sonny actually robbed the bank was because he wanted to pay for his wife's gender reassignment surgery.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And I actually wrote an essay about this movie for World. And so I did gain a lot more appreciation for it after I wrote a very long essay for it.
Wait, so does the entire film, or at least most of it, take place in the bank?
The bank and the buildings across the street, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. I didn't know it was like... Wait, and that was a Sidney Lumet film, right?
Yeah, Sidney Lumet, yeah.
He also made 12 Angry Men, right? And that's another, like, one location kind of film. That's interesting. I guess he drifted towards those kinds of scripts. That's interesting.
Well, it sure does save them a lot of money, I think.
Very true. is that all we have to say about Dog Day Afternoon? I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, then we'll move on to my number two pick, which we actually touched on lightly earlier. It's Ingmar Bergman's Winter Light, the film that First Reformed is based on, came out in 1963, I want to say. 62? 63, I think. And... if I can quote the plot description, I don't remember it fully, but it has something to do with the film being the story of a pastor who fails a loving woman, a fisherman, and God. So it is, sounds pretty morbid, and it is. It takes place just over a few hours between like the 3 o'clock service at one church and then the 6 p.m. service at another church, I think, something along those lines. And it's such a contained story. And when you really think about it, nothing really happens in the movie. It's just the main character played by, I'm going to butcher this name, Gunnar Bjornstrand or something like that, playing the pastor. Gunnar
Bjornstrand?
Yeah, he plays Thomas. That's his name. And that's actually based on Doubtful Thomas from the Bible. I don't get that reference at all. I just saw that somewhere. Apparently that's a thing, Doubtful Thomas in the Bible. But that has to do with his doubts of God, and especially God's silence. And once again, it's just very much a film about people and their struggles, not necessarily a plot. And really thought-provoking. It's very powerful. The cinematography, I'm almost positive they didn't actually use any artificial lighting. Ingmar Bergman wanted to use all natural lighting for the film, and it gives it this look. It's hard to explain. It's almost like sharp with like light streaming in through the windows. It really, it like almost cuts the characters in half with like half of them being in darkness and half of them being in light. It's really beautiful. And once again, I'm going to the eyes. I have no idea why. Gunnar Bjornstrand's eyes in this film, when he's contemplating all these massive ideas, you can really feel it. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his eyes. Everything is there in the eyes. And I just think that's beautiful.
Again, I have not seen the movie, but I have seen First Reformed, which it is based on. And I do think that the movies are probably quite similar.
Yeah. Winter Light is a little shorter. It's only like 80 yeah. minutes, I think. And then First Reformed's like 100, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. First Reformed's not that long either. I don't remember it mm-hmm. being that long. But, yeah. You did loan it to me before quarantine.
Yes, I did.
And I still haven't watched it.
Sitting in your backpack. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I might watch that, you know.
You should.
You know, I might. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're actually going to move on to my number one movie.
Oh, man. Drum roll?
I'm sure you know what this is, but...
Yes. Oh, man.
Okay. It's Frances Ha. She came out mm-hmm. in 2012. Directed by Noah Baumbach, featuring Greta Gerwig. And it's about...
And Adam Driver.
And Adam Driver, he is in it, but he's not, he's like a supporting character.
I just love Adam Driver. Just want to throw that in.
And so it's about Greta Gerwig, and she plays this dancer who's living in New York, and she is having a very tough time living in New York.
Fair enough.
Everything just goes bad for her, you know? Like, she does one thing for mm-hmm. another person, you know? And
yeah.
then the other person that she did that thing for, you know, it just, like, doesn't work out for her. Like,
yeah.
everything in her life just, you know, it just doesn't work out the way she wants it to. But then, like, you know, by, like, the end of the movie, she's, like, you know, she's kind of found, like, a way to survive this sort of, like, chaotic journey.
Yeah.
With her, you know, friends, and especially being, like, a, you know, an artist, and that sort of notion of being a starving artist in New York definitely comes up a lot.
Yeah, it's a very optimistic film in a way. Yeah. It gets very sad, but it always seems like there's that light at the end of the tunnel, like we'll make it out someday. That's the kind of feeling I get watching that movie. It really is pretty heartwarming in a strange way.
I do believe the first time I watched this movie, I think I watched it on Netflix. I actually don't remember the first time I watched it was. But I was like, well, I guess I'll watch it. And then I came out and I'm like, wow, this is like amazing.
Yeah, that it's so strange how that happens sometimes. You'll just like pick a random movie and be like, maybe this will be good. And then it ends up being one of your favorite films of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it'd be like that.
Great pick.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to our final film to talk about, my number one pick. This has been, drum roll. It is La La Land, 2016, directed by Damien Chazelle. This has been my favorite film for three years now. And just, I don't know if it's ever going to stop being my favorite film just because of like what it means to me specifically. I can totally understand criticisms about it. But it's just the movie that really made me think this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to make movies. I felt for the characters. I love the visuals in the film. It's just, you can feel how much Damien Chazelle loves movies in every frame. Like the sweeping camera movements, the wide shots, the colors, the Technicolor, CinemaScope. It's just all like very classic Hollywood like movies. It's just really, it's really great. And obviously the music is fantastic in it. Is it music and lyrics by Justin Hurwitz, I think? I can't remember. I think he at least did the music.
I know he did the music.
I think someone else might have done the lyrics. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's besides the point. Anyway, the music, fantastic. It's a very beautiful film about love and losing love and just an artist and chasing your dream. And it's just... It's really great.
Very sad.
Yes, it's very sad. But in But then it's almost happy in the end. I don't want to spoil anything.
Almost happy.
It's like a sucker punch right at the end, and there's a moment that really redeems it that almost makes you happy with the way it ends. It's just brings a tear to my eye every time, I must say it.
Honestly, I have to say, though, my favorite part of that movie is, like, the opening number. I don't know why. I love that song.
Another Day of Sun.
Yes. Such that song was also famous on TikTok for a short period of time.
Really? I don't think I was using TikTok at that time.
I don't think you were. I was, though.
Well, if we want to talk about it, just very quickly about moments I love, this is literally only one shot, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it happens when Emma Stone, playing Mio, runs out of a restaurant. And, like, it's this fantastic shot where she sprints out of the restaurant and it cuts to a boom shot. The camera's, like, way high up on a crane and it sweeps down very quickly, like, past a cherry blossom tree with all of the blossoms, like, blossoms falling on the ground. And she's running by in, like, this beautiful green dress. It's just visually fantastic. Such a good movie.
I don't remember that shot, but it's also been like a year since I saw the movie. So.
That's fair. That shot is going to be ingrained in my memory forever. So good. Well, I imagine at least some people are a little sick of us droning on about very random fun facts and shots in movies.
Yeah.
But I hope we didn't scare anybody away. We'll talk about some interesting things in our coming episodes, maybe film news, maybe some film debates with special guests. Who knows what'll happen?
Maybe we'll talk about Trolls World Tour. Who knows?
Maybe. Just maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's all for today. And make sure to throw your popcorn away on the way out.